to them. We're delighted you're with us this morning.
Would you take your Bibles, please, and turn to Daniel chapter 3. Now, we're going to use those Bibles this morning extensively, so please keep them handy. Daniel chapter 3. Comes right after the book of Ezekiel. Daniel chapter 3, page 900 in my Bible. Maybe that'll give you a little help in looking up the scripture this morning. Daniel chapter 3. Shall we just bow in a word of prayer? Heavenly Father, once again we acknowledge that without Thee we can do absolutely nothing, but we pray that Thy Word may speak to all our hearts, and we pray that the Word of God may do the work of God in lives here this morning. Oh, may we hear Thy voice, and we know that God speaks through His Word, and that the distractor is here. And we're thankful that we can claim protection against his wiles as we once again claim the protection of the blood of Christ. And Lord, we're looking for a blessing. Bless us, Lord. We need it in this hour in a real way. And if there is blessing that results to thee, we'll give the praise. For we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Today, we want to talk about one of the most famous stories in the entire Bible. It's the story of three men who wouldn't compromise their testimony, even if it meant the loss of their lives. But really, that's getting ahead of my story this morning. We have been taking a series of messages from the book of Daniel, one of the great prophetic books of the Old Testament. Now, our messages have not been intended to be prophetic in content, but rather we have taken lessons from this particular book which are appropriate to us in the 20th century. Now, for those who are here who haven't been here before, the book of Daniel teaches us many things. But two of the main things the book of Daniel teaches is this. First of all, there is a God in heaven. And that's repeated for us no less than five times in Daniel chapter 2 alone. Then the other thing that is taught in this book is that God is the Most High. And that is given to us 13 times in the book of Daniel. Now, in our first message from this lovely little book, we learn that you cannot hide from God. God will judge sin. Then last Lord's Day, we thought of what happens when a man is touched by God. Now this morning, as noted in the bulletin, we want to speak about how God speaks through fire. Daniel chapter 3, commencing please at verse 1. Daniel chapter 3, commencing at verse 1. Nebuchadnezzar the king made an image of gold whose height was 70 cubits and the breadth of it 6 cubits. He set it up in the plain of Dura in the province of Babylon. Verse 4. Now let me just stop here. You're going to not agree with me in all your Bibles on these instruments. I'm just reading from the New Scofield Translation, so if it doesn't look exactly right, I do know what I'm reading, so don't worry. All right, verse 4. Then an herald cried aloud, "To you it is commanded, O people, nations, and languages, that at that time that ye hear the sound of the horn, the pipes, the lyre, the sackbut, the psaltery, the dulcimer, and all kinds of music, ye fall down and worship the golden image that Nebuchadnezzar the king hath set up. And whosoever falleth not down and worshipeth shall the same hour be cast into the midst of a burning fiery furnace." Verse 12. "There are certain Jews whom thou hast set up over the affairs of the province of Babylon, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. These men, O king, have not regarded thee. They serve not thy gods, nor worship the golden image which thou hast set up." Then Nebuchadnezzar, in his rage and fury, commanded to bring Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. Then they brought these men before the king. Nebuchadnezzar spoke and said unto them, "Is it true, O Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego? Do not ye serve my gods, nor worship the golden image which I have set up? Now if ye be ready, that at the time that ye hear the sound of the horn, the pipe, the lyre, the sackbut, the psaltery, and the dulcimer, and all kinds of music, to fall down and worship the image which I have made, well. But if ye worship not, ye shall be cast the same hour into the midst of the burning fiery furnace. And who is that God that shall deliver you out of my hand?" Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego answered and said to the king, O Nebuchadnezzar, we are not careful to answer thee in this matter. If it be so, our God whom we serve is able to deliver us from the burning fiery furnace, and he will deliver us out of thine hand, O king. But if not, be it known unto thee, O king, that we will not serve thy gods nor worship the golden image which thou hast set up. Verse 22. Therefore, because the king's commandment was urgent, and the furnace exceedingly hot, the flame of the fire slew those men that took up Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. And these three men, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, fell down bound into the midst of the burning fiery furnace. Then Nebuchadnezzar the king was astounded, and rose up in haste, and spoke, and said unto his counselors, Did not we cast three men bound into the midst of the fire? They answered and said unto the king, True, O king. He answered and said, Lo, I see four men loose, walking in the midst of the fire, and they have no hurt. And the form of the fourth is like unto a son of the gods. Then Nebuchadnezzar came near to the mouth of the burning fiery furnace, and spoke and said, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, ye servants of the Most High God, come forth and come here. Then Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego came forth from the midst of the fire. And the princes, governors, and captains, and the king's counselors, being gathered together, saw these men, upon whose bodies the fire had no power, nor was an hair of their head singed, neither were their coats changed, nor the smell of fire had passed on them. Then Nebuchadnezzar spoke and said, Blessed be the God of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, who hath sent his angel and delivered his servants who trusted in him, and hath changed the king's word, and yielded their bodies, that they might not serve nor worship any god except their own God. And God will bless to us what we have read from his word. Do you remember the first time you heard this story in Sunday school? This was that kind of story, you know, that kept you on the edge of your seat during the whole Sunday school class hour. But you know, I well recall as a little boy that this story had a great impression on me when young, and it still does. You know what the great message is? God wants those whom he has saved to trust him completely. Now look at verse 17 once again, will you? Notice what these men said. If it be so, our God whom we serve is able to deliver us from the burning fiery furnace, and he will deliver us out of thine hand, O king. But if not, be it known unto thee, O king, that we will not serve thy gods nor worship the golden image which thou hast set up. What a miracle. Here were these faithful three calmly walking in the flames, unbound and unhurt. Now the king saw something. From his vantage point, he saw a demonstration of the power of the only true God. The flames burned off their bonds, but as we read, not even a hair of their heads was singed. What a mighty, miraculous deliverance these men experienced. And then doesn't it thrill your heart as you read verse 24? Notice the middle of verse 24. Did not we cast three men bound into the midst of the fire? They answered and said unto the king, True, O king. And he answered and said, Lo, I see four men loose, walking in the midst of the fire, and they have no hurt. And the form of the fourth is like unto the son of the God. Now when you look down in verse 28, you'll find that Nebuchadnezzar identifies this mysterious fourth person as an angel of God. Now that kind of a sight would startle any man, I think, and including some of us today. But do you notice that these men were walking around in the fire and weren't looking for a way out? Did you notice that? They stayed right there. They weren't looking for the mouth of the furnace. They just walked around just as calmly as ever. And this heathen king was convinced that the men in this furnace were being preserved from the hurt of the fire by that supernatural being which walked with them. Now, who was that fourth person appearing to Nebuchadnezzar like one of the gods? I'm convinced, ladies and gentlemen, that this was none other than the Son of God, the Lord Jesus. This is one of those pre-incarnate appearances of the Lord Jesus Christ, the Son of God. And I want to remind you of something. It's that same one who was there who says to you and me today, "Lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world." Matthew 28:20. That's the same one who says, "These things have I spoken unto you, that in me ye may have peace. In the world ye shall have tribulation, but be of good cheer. I have overcome the world," John 16:33. And my friend, if you're here and you're born again this morning, this is the Savior in whom you and I trust, and this is the one who has provided for us eternal salvation from the fires of hell itself. Now, it was these men, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, who are mentioned in the New Testament, don't turn to it now, in the Hall of Fame in Hebrews chapter 11 and verse 34. You know what it says there? They quenched the violence of fire. But I want you to notice something very special here. Do you notice that they weren't prevented from going into the fire? They went. But they were preserved through the fire. Now, I don't know whether you know it or not, but God speaks about fire and speaks through fire in various portions of the Word of God. And it's 11:32 on my digital clock, and so I have 28 minutes, and I'll go just as far as I can in the time that's given to me. I want you to turn back to Exodus chapter 3, please. Exodus chapter 3, page 73 in my Bible. Exodus chapter 3. The third chapter of Exodus, the second book of the Old Testament. Exodus chapter 3. Now here, and just let me announce this and then prove it, here we will see God's presence in the fire. Now the account of Exodus chapter 3 is familiar to the most of us. One day Moses stood and he was taking care of his father-in-law's flock of sheep, and he went to what the Bible calls the mountain of God, Mount Horeb. Now, it was here that an angel appeared to Moses right out of the midst of a fire in a burning bush. And Moses couldn't understand why the bush burned, but it wasn't consumed by the fire. But you know what? Moses soon learned that he was standing on holy ground. And God told him to take his shoes off. And so here stood Moses barefooted in the presence of God. And when he stood barefooted in the presence of God, he heard the call of God. Now, Moses demurred. He held back. He didn't think he could do it. Notice God's word, Exodus chapter 3, verse 10. God was insistent. "Come now, therefore," said God to Moses, "and I will send thee unto Pharaoh, that thou mayest bring forth my people, the children of Israel, out of Egypt." And Moses said unto God, "Who am I, that I should go unto Pharaoh, and that I should bring forth the children of Israel out of Egypt?" And he said, "Certainly I will be with thee, and this shall be a token unto thee that I have sent thee. When thou hast brought forth the people out of Egypt, ye shall serve God upon this mountain." Oh, let that message sink in. You see, ladies and gentlemen, it's usually when we're brought low in the presence of God, and not before, that we hear the call of God. We may even have to be brought so low that we're barefooted. Now, in the case of Mrs. Filon and me, it wasn't that we got down that low that we had to get barefooted. But I'll tell you, the financial larder was so low that we welcomed gifts of food to feed ourselves and our family. Now, I never thought I'd have to get that low. But I had to get that low to hear the call of God. But do you notice here, ladies and gentlemen, that Moses had a definite word from God? I have something written in my Bible. I don't know where I got it from, but I want to read it to you this morning because I think it's very appropriate right at this point. This is what I have written right in the front of my Bible. The man who is to be used of God will hear from heaven. God will give him a promise. Not the general promises of the Word of God that apply to so many of his children, but a definite, unmistakable message direct to his own heart. Some familiar promise, it may be, will suddenly grip him in such a way that he will know God has spoken. Hence, if I would attempt work for God, let me ask myself, first of all, the question, have I a promise? Has God spoken? End of quote. Let me say, it's wonderful to be in the work of God if he has called you. But if he hasn't, don't attempt it. It's the hardest work in the world. And if you don't believe it, just follow the life of Moses. You will understand. There's no glamour to the work of God, as some people think. And you know, God never rewards you for being successful. You know what he rewards you for, don't you? Being faithful. Moses saw the presence of God in the fire, and he heard the call of God. Now, secondly, God's pathway in the fire, Exodus 13. They write in this book, Exodus 13, verse 21. We have the presence of God in the fire, and now we will learn about God's pathway in the fire. Exodus 13, verse 21. And the Lord went before them by day in a pillar of a cloud to lead them the way, and by night in a pillar of fire to give them light to go by day and night. Now I can well imagine that the people of Israel appreciated this light from God. It would have been terribly dark in that wilderness for all those thousands of people if they didn't have any light. Can you imagine it? You see, we have electricity, we just turn it on. But can you imagine several hundreds of thousands of people in a wilderness with no light? But God gave them that light of fire. Now, do you suppose, because they were in the land, in the wilderness for so many years, that they finally became used to that light, just took it for granted? But I ask you, how would they have operated? How would they have lived if God would have withdrawn that light? Now that poses a question. Now I want to take this and apply it to us. In Psalm 119, verse 105, it says this, "Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light upon my path." I wonder if we all appreciate this tremendous gift, this tremendous light from God. I asked you this morning, do we all take advantage of it? Are we obeying the instructions that are given to us in the Word of God? Or have we just become used to them and take them for granted? I'm wondering this morning if some of us disregard words like this. Be not unequally yoked together with unbelievers. For what fellowship hath righteousness with unrighteousness? And what communion hath light with darkness? 2 Corinthians 6:14. I'm wondering if some of us have disregarded words like this. Be not deceived. God is not mocked. For whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. But he that soweth to the flesh shall of the flesh reap corruption. And he that soweth to the Spirit shall of the Spirit reap life everlasting. Galatians 6, 7 and 8. I'm wondering if some of us have disregarded words like these, that all men should honor the Son even as they honor the Father. He that honoreth not the Son honoreth not the Father who hath sent him. Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that heareth my word and believeth on him that sent me hath everlasting life and shall not come into condemnation, but is passed from death into life. John 5:23-24. I'm wondering if some of us are disregarding words like this, not forsaking the assembling of yourselves together as the manner of some is, but exhorting one another, and so much the more as ye see the day of God approaching. Hebrews 10:25. I want to take you to a verse this morning, and it has turned me inside out and upside down in this very light. Keep this place. I want you to turn to the book of Amos, chapter 8. Amos, chapter 8, page 937 in my Bible. Joel, and then Amos, and then Obadiah. Amos, chapter 8. The book of Amos, chapter 8, and verse 11. Amos, chapter 8, and verse 11. I'll give you enough time to find it. Joel, Amos, Obadiah. That's right. Amos, chapter 8, and verse 11. Notice what it says. Behold, the days come, saith the Lord God, that I will send a famine in the land, not a famine of bread, nor a thirst for water, but of the hearing of the words of the Lord. Now, ladies and gentlemen, in its original application that applies to the nation of Israel, it was partially fulfilled when the northern kingdom was captured by the Assyrians. It will yet be fulfilled in a future day. But I want you to notice this in the light of what we've said. I'm going to read it again, and the verse makes its own application. Behold, the days come, saith the Lord God, that I will send a famine in the land, not a famine of bread, nor a thirst for water, but of hearing the words of the Lord. And I'll tell you this, that may happen to us in the United States before we think it can. All you have to do is listen to the news one evening at 6:30. God's presence in the fire, Moses heard the call of God. God's pathway in the fire, Israel experienced the leading of God. Now go to Exodus 19. Here we have God's precepts in the fire. Back to Exodus chapter 19. Exodus chapter 19, we're going to break in at verse 16. It's page 95 in my Bible. Exodus chapter 19, verse 16. Exodus 19 and verse 16. And it came to pass on the third day in the morning that there were thunders and lightnings and a thick cloud upon the mount, and the voice of the trumpet exceedingly loud, so that all the people that were in the camp trembled. And Moses brought forth the people out of the camp to meet with God, and they stood at the lower part of the mount. And Mount Sinai was altogether in smoke, because the Lord descended upon it in fire, and the smoke thereof ascended as the smoke of a furnace, and the whole mount quaked greatly. And ladies and gentlemen, it was on this spectacular occasion that God gave his law. What an awesome sight! What an experience that must have been! But someone said, well, that was good for the people of Israel. Haven't you often told us that when God gave his law, there wasn't a Gentile in sight? That's exactly what I've said. And I've also said that God never gave his law to save a single soul. The law wasn't given to save a soul or sanctify a saint. Therefore, by the deeds, by the doing of the law, there shall no flesh be justified in his sight, for by the law is the knowledge of sin, Romans 3:20. And I add, not salvation from sin. Furthermore, wherefore the law was our schoolmaster to bring us to Christ, that we might be justified by faith. Galatians chapter 3 and verse 24. Ladies and gentlemen, the law was given to show us God's standard and how short we come of God's understand her. But there's something that I think we sometimes forget. God's law, I repeat, is not God's plan of salvation. But do you know this? He has never rescinded the precepts of the law, but rather he makes them higher in this dispensation of grace in which we live. You say to me, you mean there's something higher than God's law? You just listen. I'll give you two examples. And he made it higher. Let me give you an example. This is what the Lord Jesus said. Ye have heard it hath been said of old, thou shalt not commit adultery. Now that's the word of God. That's the law of God. But I say unto you, whosoever looketh on a woman to lust after her hath committed adultery with her already in his heart. Matthew 5:27-28. And I look into the eyes of every man in this audience this morning, and you're looking at me. And every man has to say, guilty. Under the Old Testament law, as long as you didn't have relationships with a woman, you're okay. Under the dispensation of the grace of God in which we live, the Lord Jesus says, if a man even looks at a woman to lust after her, he's committed adultery already. Right. You talk about standards. This is Bible. Let me give you another. Ye have heard it hath been said, thou shalt love thy neighbor and hate thine enemy. That's the law. But I say unto you, love your enemies, bless them that curse you, and do good to them that hate you, and pray for them that despitefully use you and persecute you. I'm wondering sometimes, because some of us, and many of us here this morning, are saved, whether we forget what God expects from us. Now, he expects nothing from us for salvation, but he expects plenty from us as a result of our salvation. And it behooves us, ladies and gentlemen, to be obedient and to watch our steps and live in compliance with what God expects from us, those who have been born again. Say, there's no question that God speaks through fire, doesn't he? Huh? The presence of God in the fire, Moses heard the call of God. The pathway of God in the fire, Israel experienced the leading of God. The precepts of God in the fire are instructions in living for God. Let me give you one more. This is in Leviticus chapter 2, right after Exodus, Leviticus chapter 2. Leviticus chapter 2. We've had God's presence, God's pathway, God's precepts, and now we want God's punishment in the fire. Leviticus chapter 2, or 10, rather, verse 2. Leviticus chapter 10, verse 2, page 132 in my Bible. Leviticus chapter 10 and verse 2. This is God's punishment in the fire. Leviticus 10 and 2. And there went out a fire from the Lord and devoured them, and they died before the Lord. Now, let me give you a little background for this. This is the story of Nadab and Abihu. They were sons of Aaron, who was the first priest of the nation of Israel. Aaron's job was to offer sacrifices to God in behalf of the people of Israel, as God had instructed. Now, in the Levitical system, it was ordained that the sons of Aaron should assist their father in this mountainous task. Now, notice what happened because of what God did. The verse 1, chapter 10, verse 1. And Nadab and Abihu, the sons of Aaron, took either of them his censer and put fire therein and put incense thereon and offered strange fire before the Lord, which he commanded them not. And these men sinned, and God sent down fire from heaven, cut them off. Now, we don't have time to go into all the details of this. I'd love to do that this morning. But let me just say this. The only person who could offer incense to God acceptably was the high priest. But there's an application here, and I want to look at it very carefully. You see, I think the application goes to children of Christian parents. To put it in today's language, Aaron was a Christian father, head of a household. But you notice here he had two disobedient sons. Now, it's obvious they acted in willful disobedience to the commands of God, which in all probability were given them by their godly father. And so, God acting then in righteousness, these men knew, because of their sin, he struck them dead with fire. You know, in the day and age in which we are living, it seems to me that many children disregard the words and advice of parents. Oh, they're from an older generation. They don't know. Did you ever hear that? Listen, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge, and fools despise wisdom and instruction. My son, hear the instruction of thy father, and forsake not the law of thy mother. Proverbs 1, 7 and 8. Be not wise in thine own eyes. Fear God and depart from evil. It shall be health to thy navel and marrow to thy bones. Proverbs 3, 7 and 8. Oh, listen. God speaks, and he often speaks through fire. Oh, boy. We don't have time to talk about God's power in the fire. But let's go to a last one. God's prophecy of fire. Turn to the New Testament, 2 Thessalonians chapter 1. Now that's page 1294 in my Bible. God's prophecy of the fire. 2 Thessalonians chapter 1. Page 1294 in my Bible. 2 Thessalonians chapter 1. We're going to break in at verse 6. 2 Thessalonians chapter 1, breaking in at verse 6. Seeing it is a righteous thing with God to recompense tribulation to them that trouble you, and to you who are troubled, rest with us, when the Lord Jesus shall be revealed from heaven with his mighty angels in flaming fire, taking vengeance on them that know not God and that obey not the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ, who shall be punished with everlasting destruction from the presence of the Lord and from the glory of his power. Now, as you're letting that digest, let me quote another verse. But the day of the Lord will come as a thief in the night, in which the heavens shall pass away with a great noise, and the elements shall melt with fervent heat, and the earth and all the works that are in it shall be burned up. 2 Peter chapter 3 and verse 10. Now turn to Revelation chapter 20. Last book in your Bible. Revelation chapter 20 and verse 11. This is the last scripture. Page 1374. Revelation chapter 20 verse 11. Remember, we're learning about God's prophecy of the fire. Revelation chapter 20 verse 11. John is speaking by guidance and inspiration of the Holy Spirit. He's given a vision into the future. Notice what it says. And I saw a great white throne, and him that sat on it, from whose face the earth and the heaven fled away, and there was found no place for them. And I saw the dead, small and great, stand before God, and the books were opened, and another book was opened, which is the book of life. And the dead were judged out of those things which were written in the books according to their works. And the sea gave up the dead that were in it. And death and hell, death and Hades, delivered up the dead that were in them. And they were judged every man according to their works. And death and hell, Hades,